Well, it's good to be with you this morning and to bring a word from the Word. Now, Dostoevsky wrote, "To live without hope is to cease to live. To live without hope is to cease to live." We all need hope in order to live our lives. And this morning, as we continue our sermon series on hope, I want to talk about the incredible hope we have as Christians for our future because of Christ's resurrection from the dead. I want to be clear that when I talk about the future, I am meaning our eternal future. Because Christ rose from the dead, we have a hope that is not snuffed out by death, but a hope that goes on through into eternity. Today in our culture, people are constantly looking for things and people to place their hope in. Because, as Dostoevsky made clear, to live without hope is to cease to live. But these things that people put their hope in offer no certainty of actually happening. In the things people place their hope in, there is certainly no hope in the face of death. And Paul says something quite interesting in 1 Corinthians 15:19. He says, "If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are of all people most to be pitied." For us as Christians, if Christ has not been raised, then our hope is no better than anyone else's in the world. If Christ has not been raised, we would be left with his amazing teaching, his example to be love, but our hope would end in death. But because Christ has conquered death by being raised to life, as we place our faith in him, we have an incredible hope for an eternal future. Now, having that hope means there is meaning and purpose in how we live our lives now, in preparation for that time we spend with God in all eternity. Paul states, "If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are of all people most to be pitied, but Christ indeed has been raised from the dead." Paul also reminds us in Ephesians of the hopeless situation we lived in when we live without God in our lives. He writes, "Remember that at that time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel and foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in the world." Let's just be clear that if we are living without God in this life, then we have no certain hope, especially we have no certainty of an eternal future. Now, if we try and place our hope in anything else apart from Christ, it will sooner or later lead us to disappointment and hopelessness. And ultimately, death will snuff out any hope or anything we try and put our hope in. Yeah, I used to love listening to Malcolm lead the 8:45 communion service because of the way he declared one of the acclamations with great enthusiasm and confidence. The acclamation was this: "Christ has died, Christ has risen, Christ will come again." Now, what this acclamation reminds us of is that we have a hope for the future because Jesus Christ has died, has risen, and so will come again. Each acclamation builds on the last. Christ has died. We know this because the Gospels and historical documents outside the Bible affirm that Christ did die. Next, Christ is risen. The New Testament gives ample proof that Christ has risen. But if you want to delve deeper, then I'd encourage you to go and listen to Dave's talk entitled Certain Hope. It outlines the certain hope that we can have that Christ did rise from the dead. And it's an excellent talk, so I'd really encourage you to do that. Now, since Christ has died, since Christ has risen, we can declare with confidence that Christ will come again. Now, as I was thinking about this last statement, Christ will come again, which speaks about the future, I was reminded of something amazing the risen Jesus says that is recorded in Revelation 21, that he will do when he comes again. who states, I am making everything new. I am making everything new. Now, this statement, I believe, brings us great hope for the future. So for the rest of this morning, I want to do two things. Firstly, I want to look at what Christ has said he will make new when he comes again, which brings hope to us for our future. And secondly, think how we can let this hope for the future affect how we live our lives now. So firstly, let's look at what Christ has said he will make new when he comes again, which brings hope to us for our future. To find this out, let's read Revelation 21. And if you've got your Bibles, I'd encourage you to open them up. This is John speaking. He's been given a vision, and this is what he writes. This is, in fact, what he's commanded to write. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride beautifully dressed for a husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old things, the order of things has passed away. He who seated on the throne said, I am making everything new. Then he said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. That's Revelation 21, 1-5. Now, there are three things in this passage that Jesus is going to make new, which can bring us hope for the future because of the world we live in now. The first thing he says he will make new is us. We will be made new. John writes, I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. Now, the bride here that John sees is the church, and the church is the people of God. That is us. I don't know about you, but I long for the day when I don't struggle with my thoughts, that I don't say stuff and do stuff that hurts other people. I long for the day when sin is no longer a problem for me. I want to be like Jesus in what I think and what I say and what I do. And I'm not going to give up wanting that, even when I do make mistakes. But I know the reality so often is that I still sin. For example, I was really challenged by Tara's talk last week. You know, how often do we see injustices and do nothing about them? How often do we not stand up for those who are facing injustice? You know, what I read of Jesus in the Gospels inspires me to be like him, to be love in this world. But I know I fail so often. I long for that day which Jesus talks about when he says, I make everything new, when I will be completely made new. That gives me hope. Now, further on in verse 11, John describes more about the church. That's us. He says it shone with the glory of God, and its brilliance was like that of a very precious jewel, like a jasper, clear as crystal. Just think of that. We will shine with the glory of God. The glory of God is holy. It is pure. There is nothing shameful or impure about the glory of God. That is what we will be like. Wow, that's amazing and brings me hope. But there's more in relation to us being changed. The passage also hints that our bodies will be made new. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. Now, if the things that God's voice mentions, such as death, tears and pain, are all gone, then that points for me to a new body. You know, as I get older, I really feel it as I go for a long cycle. I was on my bike trainer on Monday night to wind down after a day of Zoom. I thought I would go for a quick 8 mile cycle. That's one lap round Harrogate for you Zwifters. But I must have pressed the wrong button or something and found myself in a fitness test. After only 20 minutes, I was feeling the pain and I had another 25 to go. Let's just say I was really feeling it when I managed to crawl off my bike. But I realize there are those who have conditions which means you are in constant pain, even chronic pain. So this promise of a new body and no more pain is something that brings great hope for your future. I long for a new body, but also a time when there is no more mourning or tears or death. Notice how intimate and personal this scripture is. He will wipe away, he will wipe every tear from their eyes. It reminds me of Psalm 56:8. You have kept count of my tossings, put my tears in your bottle. Are they not in your book? But what I hear you ask, what are these new bodies going to be like? Well, Paul mentions our new bodies in Philippians 3:20 to 21 when he says, but our citizenship is in heaven and we eagerly await a savior for that from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control will transform our lowly bodies so that we will be like his glorious body. Now, to be honest, I'm not sure what our new bodies will look like, but it sounds glorious. Oh, for that day when Christ transforms our lowly bodies so that we will be like his glorious body. And I'm looking forward to be able to do cartwheels again. What a hope we have for the future when Christ comes again, for we will be made new. Now, the second thing that God will make new is creation. John states, then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. Now, Piper writes about this verse that I don't think this means that God picks us up and takes us to a new solar system. The hope of the prophet seems to be that this earth and these heavens will be made new. God will renovate the whole thing, a kind of global rehab project, and everything futile and evil and painful will be done away. You know, I love the thought of all that is pointless and evil and painful will be gone. I'm not sure we can actually imagine what this is going to be like, but what I do know is that it's going to be amazing. Wilcox wrote in his commentary on Revelation, the general promise of renovation and transformation of nature is plain, including the eradication of all harmful elements and their replacement by righteousness, peace, harmony, joy, and security. But we should be cautious in pressing the details. The future glory is beyond our imagination. What we do know is that God's material creation will be redeemed and glorified because God's children will be redeemed and glorified. So we will be made new. Creation will be made new. That's an exciting thought. We will live in a beautiful creation. I mean, just think about that. Sometimes my creation catches my breath away, but God will make creation new. He will renew it and all these evil and pointless things will be gone. Wow, that brings me hope. Now, thirdly, and most wonderfully, we will have a new relationship with God. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, look, God's dwelling place is now among the people and he will dwell with them. They will be his people and God himself will be with them and be their God. That's Revelation 21:3. Now, the Bible makes clear that as Christians, we have access to God's presence through the Holy Spirit. And Jesus promised us that he would be with us until the end of the age. But we cannot see him. You know, I wonder if a child has ever asked you, how do you see God? We can see We can say we see God in creation. We can see we see him in one another. But in truth, we don't see him by sight, only through faith. Paul makes that clear in 2 Corinthians 5, 6 to 7. When he says, therefore, we are always confident and know that as long as we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. For we live by faith, not by sight. In one sense, while we are in our earthly bodies, we are away from the Lord. We see by faith and not by sight. But there will be a day when Christ comes again, having been made new with our new bodies and in a new creation, we will see him in all his glory and it will be wonderful. We'll have a new relationship with him. So we see that when Jesus comes again, we will be made new. Creation will be made new. And our relationship with God will be made new in that we will see him and he will dwell with us in this new creation. But how can we let these future things bring us hope in the present? Well, this is my second point that I want to talk about. And the second thing I want to ask, how can we let this hope for the future affect how we live in our lives now? Well, about 3 weeks ago, I came across a man called Richard Baxter, who you could argue had very little hope in life because of what he faced. Richard Baxter lived in the 1600s, and during his life, he faced great suffering. He commented that from the age of 21, that there was seldom an hour free from pain. This ranged from migraines, kidney stones, gallstones, nosebleeds, and problems with his stomach. From an earthly perspective, this man had very little hope for his future, and his sufferings made him very aware of his fleeting life, how fleeting his life was, and how unavoidable death was. Now, during his 35th year, he became bedridden and was sure he was going to die. And as he lay there, he started to think on the joys of heaven, to focus on the things above, to think on the promises Christ has made about the age to come and the hope of the glory that we have in Christ. He recovered to his great surprise, and from this experience, he was inspired to write a book called The Saints' Everlasting Rest. Now, Baxter in this book encouraged other Christians to do the same and focused on things above because of the impact it had on his life. He was basically doing what Paul was instructing those in Colossae to do when he said this, since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things, for you died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. That's Colossians 3, 1-4. Now, Paul, having reminded us that we've been raised with Christ, which is an amazing thought, goes on to tell us to set our hearts and minds on things above, not on things, earthly things and things below. This is what Baxter was doing on what seemed like his deathbed. He was focusing on the things above, on the things that Christ will do when he comes again, that Jesus will make everything new. He will make us new, creation new, and our relationship with him new. About 3 weeks ago, I started to practice this by reading, focusing on, and declaring these amazing things that Christ has promised he will do when he comes again, that we've read about in Revelation 21. And I found that as I did this, I was filled with great hope for my future, regardless of what was happening in my present. And I would encourage you to do the same, whatever you are facing in your life right now, whether difficulty in your family, home life, work, or health. Why not add to your tools for how you respond to difficult situations? Or if you are supporting or encouraging a friend or family member or someone in your house group through a difficult time, as you be loved to them, remind them of the eternal hope that they can have to help them lift their eyes from the present circumstances or difficulties to the bright hope Jesus promises. In Christ, we have an amazing hope for the future, unlike any worldly thing can offer us. Only Christ can offer this hope for the future, because he has conquered death and risen from the dead. And because he rose again, he will come again to make all things new. From Christ's words and revelation, we can declare, I will be made new and be given a new and glorious body. Creation will be made new, and all that is pointless and evil will disappear. And I will have a new relationship with God and will see him face to face. As I think on these great promises and declare them, they bring me great hope for the future and even a longing for Christ to come again to make all things new. So let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you died, that you rose again, and that you will come again. And when you come again, you will make all things new, that we will be made new, that we will have new bodies, that the creation we live in will be made new, and that our relationship with you will be made new, that we will see you, and that you will dwell with your people. What a hope we have for our future. And Holy Spirit, if we are just feeling down because of our circumstances, help us to raise our eyes up, to do what Paul told us to do, and to set our hearts and our minds on things above, not on things below. To think on these truths, that when Christ comes again, he will make all things new. He will make us new. He'll make creation new. And he will make our relationship with him new. Thank you, Jesus, for these amazing promises. And help us to stand on them and remember them and allow them to allow hope to fill us in our day-to-day lives. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.